In the name of Jesus, amen. The Lord answered Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things, but the one thing is necessary." This morning, we come to Bethany to the house of Mary and Martha, where we see the intimate relationship between faith and love, how God has ordered our life before Him in faith and our life before our neighbor in love. And so we realize that in this life there are many things, and then there is the one thing. Martha is anxious, she is troubled, literally she is dragged around by the earthly cares of this life. And I'm quite confident that all of you know exactly how Martha feels. And yet, one portion, one food, one thing avails to eternal life, and that is the words of Jesus. So it is that the scripture tells us that man does not truly live by the bread of this earth, by the many things, by doing them or eating that bread. For even though he does them, he still dies, still is a funeral. But the one thing, the bread which comes down out of heaven, which is Christ and his flesh, this man, he eats it, and though he dies, and yes, there is a funeral, yet does he live, and there is the promise of new life and resurrection. So it is that the hymnist had you sing just moments ago. One thing's needful, Lord, this treasure teach me highly to regard. And why? Because the food of Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus, the words of Jesus are truly that which only sustains our body and life in this earthly life. It is also that which enables our body and propels our body to blossom and to abide in the resurrected life which is to come. But this is not to suggest in any way, shape, or form that the earthly life and the many things of earthly life are unimportant or bad. Certainly, they can drag us around like Martha, inflaming an already anxious and overwhelmed and burdened heart. There is no end to the many things of this life, and the devil, he is quite good at reminding us of this. But he doesn't want you to know this little secret that Mary knows. The to-do list of this earthly life only ends in the Sabbath rest of God. And yet, even so, in the case of Martha, her list is a good list. It's a list of love and service. She welcomes Jesus into her home, which is to say that she has faith. And so she desires to serve her Lord. She doesn't do these things out of obligation, but out of a faith that is active in love and desires to be in service to her neighbor. She indeed takes seriously what St. James reminds us, that faith without works is dead. So her faith is, as Luther would say, living and busy and active. And Jesus knows this. And so notice that his word to her is not one of scolding and reprimand. Martha, Martha. His tone of comfort. But he knows also that hospitality and service, they're not sinful, they're not wrong. But rather they are the marks of his disciples, of his children. And he, think about it, our rabbi, he led by example, right? He came not to be served, but rather to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. To put this another way, think of the Old Testament lesson in Abraham and Sarah. Jesus knows that Martha is a daughter of Abraham. For long ago, by the oaks of Mamre, along these Judean hills, Abraham dwelt in a tent with his wife Sarah. And they entertained these travelers, unaware for a time that they had actually entertained the Lord and two of his angels, unaware, in human form. Abraham washes their feet, and as the Lord would do, as you know, in the upper room to show his disciples how faith blossoms in love. And Sarah would remain in the tent, baking bread and giving praise and honor and value to the vocation of helpmate and housewife. And together you see the goodness of the marital estate and the beauty of the household. And now, advanced in years, she's 89, he's 99 years old. They've borne the crosses of earthly life. And so they knew the importance of hospitality and love. Through their own hardships, through their own crosses, both personal and marital, they learned the wisdom of being gentle and kind to the stranger, to the foreigner, to the exiled, to one another. So Martha, a daughter of Abraham, shows hospitality to the Son of Man who has no place to lay his head on this earth. And so her love, like Abraham and Sarah's, is born out of faith and trial and cross. Jesus also knows this. He also knows that love and service without faith and rest is a recipe for disaster. Love and service where there is no faith and no rest, or the good portion of Jesus' word, will without doubt shrink the heart and make it ice cold. Where love and service are not fueled by faith, the heart becomes angry and bitter and full of resentment. Just listen to Martha again. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Even without the inflection, you can tell Martha's angst in her words, the burden of her heart, and the fact that it's growing calloused and hard edges. And this is what Jesus is calling Martha away from. He's not calling her away from love and service, but rather from the anxiety of trying to do the impossible. And what is that? That is trying to finish a life that in some way will remain unfinished by her hands. He seeks to remove the resentment and the bitterness that she harbors towards her fellow neighbor, and in this case, it's her own very flesh, her sister. He bids her away from this exhausting service to rest and renewal in his Sabbath gifts. Indeed, Jesus knows the end of her story before she does. A facade of self-justification where there's no peace and no rest. Just like that lawyer that came to Jesus last week. So Martha labors and Mary listens. And yes, there is a time and there is a place for both. We should never think as Christians that we ought not to labor or to work. Resting in the word of Jesus like Mary doesn't mean that we have nothing to do, that we completely abandon our vocations and responsibilities. As if the son says to his father, "Well, Dad, God says that I'm free in Jesus, so I don't have to do my chores." And so Dad replies, "Your son, you are right. You don't have to, but you get to, because that is who you are in Jesus, and I need your help." And this conversation could happen through any number of vocations. Children to their parents, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, one generation to another generation, one community to another community. Because this is how God created us to live. In love toward our neighbor, as is an evidence of our faith. So we understand labor and work is never for self, and it's not even for God, mind you, but rather it is always for the neighbor who continually needs it. We don't labor to achieve salvation. That's not possible. Or perfection for ourselves. That's not possible either. But simply to extend the mercy and the grace and the peace of God, which we ourselves have already received and been given in that Sabbath rest. In this way, we realize something very important, that as Marthas, the only way to labor joyfully is to first begin by resting in the promises of God, like Mary. We also realize that as Marthas that are listening at the feet, or Marys that are listening at the feet of Jesus, is not merely to receive mercy and peace for ourselves, but to, having received that, extend that mercy and extend that peace to our neighbor in works of love and service. In short, if you think about it this way, we rest in the Word of God so as to labor joyfully. And we only will joyfully labor as we rest in the Word of God. So whether you wash feet like Abraham, or you reside in a tent like Sarah, whether you work inside the home or outside the home, or you're mending things or mending hearts, or you're sowing earthly seeds like the gardener, or you're sowing heavenly seeds like the preacher, it's all a living sacrifice to your neighbor. It's also a pleasing sight and aroma to your heavenly Father. Service and sacrifice is carried out by the Christian, and the joy and the thankfulness that his sins are indeed forgiven, and that life and salvation are his. He is freed in order to become a slave, and he's happy about it. Consider that each day, as no matter what you do in this life, in terms of your jobs or your vocations. For faith does not labor, and love does not rest. And as you live in this tension of faith and love, of rest and love, of Sabbath and service, always do as Mary did, and sit at the feet of Jesus. For she remembers the Sabbath day is not just simply a day, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus. It's his body, his words, his gifts are true rest to her and to us. So like her, that's why we are concerned with his word, and we hold it sacred, and we gladly hear and learn it. For we know that his words are spirit and they are life. For his word alone speaks us from anxiety to rest, from resentment to contentment, from a sinner being buried beneath the weight of the law and the many things, to a saint who joyfully lives in the gospel and in that one thing. The Sabbath is all about Jesus making it a day of rest by his labor, by his cross. It's about abandoning our quest for self-justification and the futility of trying to save ourselves. For when we sit at the feet of Jesus and we receive his baptism and we kneel and we eat his supper, we have a new song upon our lips. This good portion that we receive, this one thing, now puts all the many things in their proper place and perspective. Because the life of service for the Christian is inescapable. Our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, it needs us. It needs our labor, it needs our love, it needs our prayers. And though the biblical witness is utterly silent regarding what Mary did after she sat at the feet of Jesus, I dare say to you that she got up and she helped Martha with the meal. And why do I think this? I think you know that is because faith is never alone. Love is its truest companion. Faith fuels love, and love is a fruit of faith. We have this magnificent hymn by Paul Spiritus, "Salvation unto us is come," and he puts it beautifully, this relationship of faith and love. He says, faith clings to Jesus alone and rests in him unceasing. And by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, work serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. Love and service do not get their energy from us. It comes solely from Christ alone. He now lives in us, having crucified our sinful passions by his cross, and so now he orders our hearts, our hands, our feet, our tongues, our words, all of it for the extension of his kingdom and for the love of those who are made in his likeness and his image, which is everyone. So the good portion, Christ Jesus, gives meaning and worth to the many things of this bodily and earthly life, and he sanctifies them as well. So you are here this morning, not because the church is one more thing of the many things that you had to get done on your list today, one more thing to stop in that hamster wheel that you call a day, a week, or a life. If you think that way, it only will make you anxious or troubled, or it will lean you towards bitterness and resentment. That you think that you're sacrificing for God by having to go to church, when really it's the other way around. God has sacrificed himself for you here. So you're not here out of some moralistic duty, nor are you here obeying the third commandment through gritted teeth. No, you're here to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary and receive the forgiveness of your sins, and with that peace and hope and new life. You're here for his spirit to enliven your weary and burdened spirits. You're here to sit and rest inside of Jesus, because you know that outside of Jesus there is no rest. So in faith, receive his divine service today and be like Mary and be at peace. And so live like Martha in love and service. And through it all, know that Christ alone, in this life of many things, is the one good portion that shall never, ever, ever be taken from you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.